This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, the luxury manager of the New York Yankees, the red hot New York Yankees, Booney, of course. Now you win three straight against the Cardinals, coming off a sweep. Take the time to join BT. How are you, Booney?
Shows up.
Timing's everything.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You guys are down in Tampa. We appreciate you coming back on, Aaron. Listen, let's start with this. A lot of things to hit. And Sal and I were talking about the realignment. And listen, if and when this comes to fruition, there's going to have to be expansion. So this is still several years away. What I would love and what we would love to get your thoughts on, if the Yankees and the Mets were in the same division, I'm all for it and all the craziness it brings. As the manager of the Yankees and the players, how would you guys feel about that?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, that I did see Boston, us, Phillies, Mets.
Yep.
I mean, that would be like some high stakes ball throughout the year, man. I don't know how all that would work or how the playoff system would work, but I know 32 teams would be a much smoother way to go and scheduling and all that. That'd be a tough division, though.
But would it be too much? I mean, from the Yankee, forget about the Phils and the Sox for a moment, and that's going to be intense as well. One of the beautiful things about Yanks and Mets, we get three games here, three games there, go back to our normal workday. Would it be too much intensity, too much noise, too much whatever?
Yeah, maybe, because I do like that part of it. I like the, obviously you're going to have your division rivals that obviously play a lot of games, us with Boston, et cetera. But yeah, I think some of the appeal with, the two teams in the same city and two big market teams like the Mets and the Yankees, like some of the, novelty or just some of the excitement is the infrequency with which we play. So I think those one-off series are a little more meaningful. So yeah, sitting here right now, that's my kind of thought on it, but it's also one of those things that feels like so far down the line,
Yeah, we might have to worry about that, Booney. Unfortunately, you got to pick it up.
This guy.
All right, so come on. Where are we at with Judgy? Is Judge getting back in right field this weekend or what? I know Stan's playing right tonight. I saw you say that. Where are we at with Aaron Judge in the outfield?
I don't know yet. I mean, kind of what I've said is I'm waiting on the trainers to kind of say, yeah, thumbs up. I know he's expected the long toss again today, so I don't expect it here in Tampa, but Could it be Boston? Maybe. I just don't know yet. That's all. I'm telling you what I know.
Yeah. No, we believe you. And, you know, listen, when it gets to a pitcher, it's long toss, it's flat ground, it's maybe just fastballs, then you start snapping some stuff off. I'm not aware of the progression of an outfielder's throwing routine. So on a scale of 1 to 10, without holding you to it, is he at a 6? Where is he at?
Yeah, I think he threw out to 150 his last time.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get through where he can, you know, let it go with ease and be able to protect himself, obviously. You know, I don't think we're going to see him back to, like, throwing like he normally does at any point this year, but that's okay, too. But we got to feel like he can go out there and be able to protect himself and represent himself.
Any concerns with Stanton as far – you're not going to be able – you said already, so he's going to be in right field tonight in Tampa and then not tomorrow automatically. Any concerns because his body's not recovering maybe the way that you would think that he would or the way that he would want to?
Yeah, I mean, that's my plan is to play him tonight. And G and I talked about this, you know, the last couple of days and kind of setting it up like feel like we got one here in Tampa, which one makes the most sense. So we'll start with that and then see where we are for the Boston series.
And obviously the same dimensions, they're playing at Steinbrenner Field. So you can kind of, you know, hide them there a little bit, 314 down the line. Yankees.
Yeah. The other thing is with guys playing, I feel like guys are playing really well. Like on the day he's not in there, like having that bullet over there, you know, in a big spot, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, we were set up for that the other day with St. Louis and having his bat available there for the finally they brought in the lefty and you know they're going to make that run and you know there's some the one thing I like about our club right now is our roster is a little more complete, especially getting Rosario back today. Like, you know, the guys on the bench today are some real weapons and can play a key role in a big spot.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Some good deadline additions. Aaron Boone, of course, Yank skipper, Yank 67-57, 5 out. That wild card is jam-packed. All three wild cards with a 540 winning percentage. All right, Aaron, it's funny. We talk about Stanton and obviously Judge, and we seem to fixate so much on the offense here. It's my contention, if Max Fried doesn't get right, the hope goes out the window. Like, Max Fried's got – now, you might not see it that way, but Max Fried has got to start pitching better. I don't know what the numbers say. You have them. Is it an over-reliance on a certain pitch? I know he loves the cutter. Is it that he's got a little dead arm? Is it just baseball? What's going on with Fried? He's had some rough starts.
Yeah, so I don't think it's anything physical or dead arm or anything like that. Stuff's fine. I think it is – one of the things that makes Max so good is his big arsenal of a lot of really good weapons. And I think making sure he continues to have that presence with it. So for me, it's like some of the arm side stuff, like he's got to get back to really dominate. So that sinker on that side of the plate to a righty or change up going that way. Whereas the cutter's such a good pitch for him. And when he's gone through some struggles, he leans on it pretty heavily, and I think certain guys and certain teams have hunted that on him a little bit and made him pay with that. So he's definitely, I feel like, searching for it a little bit, but I think the stuff is all there, and it's making sure he's using the entire arsenal and then commanding that. And if he's doing that, I think it happens like that to where all of a sudden he's back to being Max that we've seen for most of the year.
So you're not worried?
Not worried. I mean, I'm not worried about like, oh, something's physically wrong with him or it's not like that. I think he's going through it a little bit and kind of searching a little bit out there. But I'm confident that can click, you know, really quickly. Once he gets that feeling, boom, now you get the confidence going again. And when he's commanding that entire arsenal, he's just so hard. The way I look at it is as a hitter is like, he's just really hard to get a beat on when he's got it all going.
Okay.
Are we getting to a point where we're going to start to see some more consistency with the lineup? I mean, that top part of your lineup, where you got Grisham, Rice, and then Judge, and obviously the protection behind him, Bellinger. Are we going to see some consistency, or is it still the analytics and matchups on any given night you can maybe mess with that top four or five?
Well, the only thing that's really changes is like, you know, with Stanton being out of the lineup and Goldschmidt being out of the lineup, that's when we're very left-handed. So then I just want to space out the righties a little bit. So like over the weekend, we had a couple of days where we had three righties in the lineup. So I go Judge 3, Volpe 6, Caballero was 9, for example. Today we're more balanced, you know, against Baz with, I got Goldie back in there. I got Stanton back in there. So I kind of go left, right, left it throughout.
Is Rice catching tonight?
Rice is catching, yeah.
Oh, and he's hitting second.
He's hitting fifth.
Fifth tonight. See, that's what I mean, Booney. Why isn't – I love Grisham. I love Rice and Judge. That top three, not as good when you had Soto, Judge last year. But obviously, Glaber in the postseason, that top three was very potent for you guys.
But Stan's playing today and Goldschmidt's playing today. So tell me the lineup then.
Well, I'm just saying, who's your two-hitter tonight? Goldie?
Judge.
Oh, you move Judge up to number two. Okay. Yeah, I just like those top three. And that's why I was asking. I don't know if it's – do you think the players don't care about having consistency? I get the matchups and the analytics and all that stuff. It drives me nuts, but I understand it. I just like, no matter what, if Rice is going to be in the lineup and obviously going to get his bat in there more often than not, Grisham, Rice, Judge.
Instead of saying it like that, tell me the lineup then.
Well, then have Jazz bat behind Judge if you want the lefty-righty. I personally would have – well, where's Bellinger, by the way? Is he behind Judge?
He's third.
Yeah, he's third. Okay, so then I would have Bellinger fourth behind Judge. And then you could have right. Stanton behind him. I just want Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Stanton's five. Go, keep going.
All right, then probably Jazz.
Six,
you,
okay.
You could go where we had Volpe here or Goldschmidt. You want to go Goldschmidt there?
Huh?
Right. And who am I forgetting here? We got
Volpe.
Yeah, okay, there you go, 8-9, however you want to put that. That's what I would probably do. Now, I'm not looking at analytics. I'm just saying that if from an opponent's perspective, God, Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, that just strikes fear in me from an opponent's point of view.
All right. Well, we'll have to strike five holding up.
Hey. All right, so the bottom line is we're not going to get consistency then. It's going to be matchup-based or lefty-righty, which that's why I wanted to ask the question.
It just look. You take one guy out of the lineup, and it kind of changes it a little bit. So, I feel like for the most part, we have been fairly consistent with the lineup. Anyway, you take one guy out, though, it moves the furniture around a little bit.
And Aaron, in a lot of ways,
I want to go six out of seven or five out of six lefties, and then three righties in a row. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
And I kind of try and put the lefty that I know I might hit for. I got Rosario back tonight, so that, you know, Tampa's got a couple of good lefties that they'll match you up, especially late in the game, that I want to have a place for them to come out and have a good matchup for a guy off the bench.
All right, so here's what I need from you. Okay. I need you to give us a real honest, and I can look at Savant and I can see red and blue and all the stuff. I want to hear in your words, because we know he can hit, Ben Rice defensively as a catcher now, and then where you think he could be, whatever his ceiling. I know he's deficient throwing the ball, but I want to hear the whole scout report on Rice defensively.
Well, even going into this year, he's a really good receiver, framer, you know, which is obviously a big piece of the pie nowadays, you know, and how these guys are judged. So that's something that his skill, we knew even coming into the season, was excellent. You know, it's a little different how he does it. I feel like now that he's gotten some opportunity, I feel like the blocking's been pretty good. He had a game the other day where two got by him, but overall, that part has been good. I feel like the blocking is somewhere where he's improved. I feel like the receiving's been good. He's actually even thrown out a couple runners too, which is good for not having the strongest arm. But where, you know, the kind of the unmeasurable thing where I think he's grown a ton since the first game he started for us, whenever that might have been a couple months ago, to now getting some more opportunity, is he's I feel like developing a little bit of a presence back there, and his game calling feel back there, his game planning with pitchers and things like that, I think has been really good and been really encouraging to see. So I think he's taken massive strides just from a confidence and a presence standpoint with, you know, what, however many times he's been back there, probably a dozen times now, whatever. I've noticed a big gain in confidence, and even my confidence in him has mm-hmm. grown more than maybe even I expected.
Okay, so that's Rice. Then there's the flip side, and that's Austin Wells. And I remember saying a year or two ago to Sal, I'm like, I think eventually he's going to be an all-star because I thought he was going to easily bang 20-plus. He seems, and I you're the coach, so I don't want to get preachy here. I don't understand how that kind of a swing, you miss that many letter-high fastballs. I same with Volpe sometimes. I just don't get that. But while Rice is ascending, and I'm not trying to be unfair to Wells, is it accurate to say, at least in the eyes of the organization, that Wells is going the other way?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say he's definitely going through it and has struggled here a little bit, especially over the last few weeks. But I think it's important that we get so prisoner of the moment with guys, especially sometimes young players. The reality is, I agree with you on the All-Star stuff with Austin. Like, I have such a high thought of what I think he can and will be.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to hit. I think he's real. And that said, he's been very productive this year. When you match him up with catchers, you know, he's got 15 homers, almost 60 ribbies. And that's kind of going through it here the last 3-4 weeks where he has struggled offensively.
Yeah.
Who I think he is as an offensive player, that it surprises me a little because I expect a lot from him offensively. So, but that also being said, you know, it's also a very young player that's playing a demanding position and has grown a lot behind the plate over the last 2 years, especially into, you know, I think, you know, the verdict was always out on the defensive side. And I think he's answered a lot of those questions. It's also a young player playing a demanding position, kind of finding his way and going through some struggles. So I still think we're going to see that all-star level guy, but we got to keep working to get it out of him. And now Rice is pushing, you know, and earn more opportunities here too. But that's also like we're a snapshot in time here. You know, like we get so prisoner of the moment that this can look a lot different in a week, 10 days, a month.
Understood. I mean, listen, one of the points last year that kind of coincided with you guys taking off was when you guys put Austin Wells in the four spot. So we've, and that's where the offense took a nice, no doubt there's good qualities, but do you see, especially with a young guy in Rice trying to take his job, is Austin Wells, is he a worker? Is he a fighter? Like, do you see him digging in and saying, hey, my baseball, I don't know if lively, I don't want to overstate it, but at least my starting spot is up for grabs, and I'm not about to relent that. Is he that kind of scrappy kid?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah. And I think he's very confident too. Like this is he's got presence to him and he's got confidence to him. And that being said, you know, I do sense that he's going through it too offensively.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, but it's also that, again, it's like, it's just such a demanding position that it's hard to like, you know, like just beat it down in the cage all the time when you're like, so immersed in like, and have to be immersed in the game planning stuff and the recovery stuff, just because it's such a demanding position. So I do feel like his work the last week or two has been good. But now we just got to start getting some results out of it.
BT and Sal on the Fan here. We're talking with Yankees manager, Aaron Boone. The number one criticism that I had of the Yankees organization wasn't necessarily you, but the organization, was it feels like a lack of accountability. Fans have been calling, oh, Boone doesn't get on this guy, or the sloppy play continues. Where are you at as far as holding players accountable if they do things that, look, running into an out happens, getting, you know, walking off a second base, talking about Austin Wells, when there were two outs in the inning in a big spot, unacceptable. Jazz getting doubled off a first on a pop-up second, to me, unacceptable. And those are just little things. Where are you at holding these guys accountable when the mistakes seem to continue throughout the course of the year?
They seem to. I hear a lot of feels like and seems to. When we get to the base running stuff, a lot of this stuff is not true. Like it's become ingrained because of game five. And now anytime we make a mistake, which is inevitable, like our base running has not been an issue. Like we've made out of 30 clubs, we've made the fewest poor outs on the bases in Major League Baseball, the fewest. And now we've gotten the running game going because we're more athletic too, and that's becoming a factor. I want us to at times be more aggressive on the bases, which is going to lead to some more outs or getting thrown out. Like sometimes I feel like here, because it gets so noisy, that guys err on the side of caution sometimes and don't push the envelope, because every time we get thrown out, it's like, you know, people lose their minds. When we got to feel like we can be aggressive. And I feel like right now, over the last couple of weeks, especially with some of our athletes being now back full and a part of it, we are doing that better right now. So we've got to continue to do that. You know, as far as the accountability, look, you have tough conversations with people all the time. Like people want you sometimes to pull a guy out of a game because, like, you know, I've done that a few times in my career. There's certain things that bring me to the point of saying I need to take him out of the game. Right. A couple of the ones you mentioned were not those cases for me. You start taking this guy out for this, that, and the other. New York makes you so accountable. Like it's inherent. It's a blessing and a curse. Because you walk through those doors every day, there's no more accountable place. There's a couple that can rival. You know, you play in Philly, you play in Queens, you play in Boston. Like, accountability is all over these guys 24/7, okay? in a market like this, sometimes, not that it's not our job to hold them accountable, it certainly is, but more here than anywhere, I feel like it's my job to also quiet some of that too, because that accountability these guys feel at their core every single day.
You think they feel it more than, think about some of the stuff that A-Rod went through when he came here, and the A-Rod Jeter relationship, or Giambi with the steroids, or a multitude of other issues, really before social media exploded. Is it, back then it was primarily us on the radio and the papers, is it easier now because they're almost desensitized to social media, or is it tougher because you never get to escape it?
Yeah, I think probably tougher because you never do get to escape it. Okay. And social media stories can come from, you know, that guy in his mom's grandma's basement, right? That now the people pick up on that though, and they run with that, and now it becomes bigger. So, you know, one of my first things I talk to the guys about in spring training, one of the things I talk is about social media. It's like, man, you need to make some hard decisions here. Like, can you deal with it? Ask yourself that honestly, because you don't want this to, if it's impacting your livelihood at all, like, you need to make some hard decisions. It's still hard for people to not look, you know, and I've had that conversation with our team, and I lead with it in spring training. Like, hey, if this is something you can do, great. If not, I'd advise you to stay away from it.
Yeah.
And I've taken that these last few years. Giancarlo Stanton said it so well. When we lost to the Red Sox in 21 in the wild card game.
Garrett Cole.
Yeah, he got up, and when G speaks, we all listen, right? I mean, he's one of the things I respect so much about him is he's so mentally disciplined and mentally tough and does not – I feel like I've watched him evolve in his career here as a Yankee, and he is unaffected by anyone.
Hmm.
Media, fans, play, whatever. He's unaffected. It's like he is so mentally disciplined to getting himself ready, knowing his body, that – so he got up and talked about that. It's like, man, a lot of you guys are, you know, whether – something on social media is really affecting you. And really it's all nonsense because you can find as great as you think you are, you can go find that, and as terrible as you think you are. And it's all toxic. You know, at the end of the day, you got to do what you need to do to be ready to go every night and to be prepared for your at bat, be prepared for your doing your job every day. And it struck a chord with me that, man, this is affecting more guys.
Yeah.
Than I expected.
It's the way of the world, and it's brutal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try to resist it in our house. So, like, my son, who's 10, you've met him, doesn't have a phone. Some of his buddies do. And as soon as they get in the car after a game, right on the phone. I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, but you go into a locker room. I know they've got to do the media requirements. Is it a locker room of 20-something-year-olds sitting at their stools before or after a game, but, you know, stool in front of the locker just going like that? Is that happening every day?
It is our world. Yeah. We try to be off of them right when we get in because we get together a team, especially after we win. And Judgy hates guys being on their phone, which I love. Yeah.
Well, so tell them to put them away. He's the captain.
Well, we do.
All right.
But I mean, it's like that time for us to bond as a team and to grow closer as a team. So,
Yeah.
A couple more for you, Aaron, and we appreciate your time. We're talking with Aaron Boone here, BT and Sal on the Fan. You think you're a better club than last year?
I mean, we went to the World Series last year, so the verdict's out. I mean, the jury's out. I think we have a chance to be. I am, as hard as this last couple months has been, you know, with, you know, some really down moments, I do feel like, you know, where we are right now in the middle of August from a health standpoint, from a roster construction standpoint, I certainly do believe we have that chance to be that team. And I've been saying that a lot through these last couple of months, but now that we are more whole and we've gotten some guys back and the trade deadline has come and gone and we've made the improvements, I still think we have a chance to be a great club. But the jury's out on that. We got to go prove that. And last year's team is, you know, we got to the World Series. So I think it's just a little emotional to say, oh, yeah, we're better than last year. I think we have a chance to be, and that's the hope, but we'll see.
And things have stabilized, certainly, after some rough stretches here over the last couple of months. People calling, oh, Aaron Boone, you want him to go. Maybe you'd be the fall guy. Have you gotten any assurances, or is there a chance if you miss the postseason, maybe you could be made the fall guy here?
No, I have no idea. I mean, you know, I feel like this team has a chance to be excellent, and part of my job is making sure we realize that. So, you know, there's expectations and pressure on that, and whatever happens in that regard happens. So my focus right now is trying to make sure we're turning into the best team we can possibly be with who we have. And I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that that has a chance to be special, and we still have a chance to realize that despite what we've been through the last couple of months. But we got to go do it. And, you know, part of that's on me.
Since I don't think we've said it once, we've got to at least fulfill a piece of the quota for Recco's over. So Booney, which was, I think, 8.5, right? It's the first time we said
it.
What is the day-to-day dynamic with you and Cashman? Like, do you guys talk every day? How does that go?
I would say we pretty much talk every day. Yeah. I'd say there's probably a day maybe you miss here and there, but generally speaking, I talk to him about every day.
And is it about, what is it about? I mean, he reaches out to you, lineup stuff, organizational stuff, minor league stuff. What is it about?
No, never lineup stuff, or more just checking in, roster. Like, a lot of time there's a guy coming back. We're talking about sending a guy down, things like that. You know, sometimes you're going through a tough stretch and you're kind of like, you know, what can we do? You're having those kind of conversations. You're kind of supporting one another. He's really great to work for. He's so consistent in who he is. And so it could be everything. It's mm-hmm. It's roster stuff. It's life stuff.
I got you.
What we're going through stuff. Yeah. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. I want to ask you this, even though it's kind of expired. I was disappointed that you guys didn't give Spencer Jones a look when Aaron Judge initially went down. I'm sitting there saying, all right, got a little 10-day window. He's mashing at AAA, mashed at AA, looks the part, maybe even better than some people in the organization maybe initially thought in terms of hitting for an average. How serious were you guys kicking the tires to call him up? And if not, my pushback would be, well, how do you not reward somebody that's playing that well? Like, I thought he earned 10 days. What went into that?
Well, yeah, because it was a short-term situation. Not on the roster.
Yep.
Left-handed. And ascending in a great way this year. Like his development and progress this year has been, you know, I don't want to say he's put himself back on the map because he was always on the map, but he is, like, with the year he's put together, it's like, okay, now this is the guy we can dream on again. And the industry realizes and acknowledges it. But really there wasn't, you know, when Judge was down, you got obviously Stanton DH and you've got Bellinger, Grissom,
Dominguez.
So we kind of wanted more of a right-handed piece there when there wasn't going to be that probably everyday run. Now, if you got in a longer-term situation, maybe a different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron, I went out there. Sorry, BT. I went out there was last Sunday maybe, see you guys against the Astros, and mm-hmm. I was disappointed that I lasted longer than you did. You get tossed in that game early on. I got to sit there in that heat. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Aaron? I think you become a bad influence on my partner here, getting kicked out of all these games. You send a bad example.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna sound a little bit hypocritical, oh, but when you told me that he got kicked out of a I'm just not okay with that. Like,
hey,
Dad, let's sit over there and just watch in silence. I'm not a big fan of
silence.
Well, you're coaching, right?
Yeah,
right?
Coach.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Well, listen. Hey. So
before this, I coached flag in Scottsdale.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
For this, and the guy I did it with, and it was huge back there. We had these awesome teams and things like that. And the guy I did it with had the ability to potentially get kicked out, and I was the hey,
yeah,
these are kids.
Yeah, understood.
Let's chill.
Well, I could probably here. Yeah. I promise you this: if my son wandered off the base with one out, thinking there was three, his ass would have been next to daddy. I can promise you that. Hey, Austin Wells, forget. Don't even sit on the dog. Get in the clubhouse. I don't want to look at you. I would have sat him down, Booty. Can't get on me for that, man. We got to win.
All right.
No, but not win at all costs.
Well,
I get it.
I'm good with discipline with the kids, but don't be getting kicked out. Clean
I
up.
Know. Yeah. It really wasn't my fault, but nobody cares about that anymore.
Aaron, thank you so much. You're the man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, dude.
Best of luck here the rest of the week. Go get one of those playoff spots here. Hey, make it easy
on
us.
He's good.
Yeah, we're trying to defend him. Yeah, he's getting beat, but we're happy to talk to you, so we appreciate the few minutes. Good luck against the Rays and then the Sox and the rest of the way.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. So I did not know that you were the rat. I thought he read the article in the paper.
Oh, he did. No, he did read the article.
Oh, so he knew. So you didn't. You just gave him details. You didn't inform him that it actually happened.
Oh, he read the article that I sent him.
this is my guy. He ratted me out.
I was thinking the phone way like we were talking. Now, remember, this is at the... You know, Yanks are going in a bad way here.
He's probably not in the most jovial mood here.
I'm trying to lighten up a little bit. Yeah, hey, yeah. Did you hear about BT?
Yeah. Yeah. And I am the pawn in trying to get Aaron Boone to smile again. And it worked. And the Yanks are hot. They swept the cards. Let's go.
We appreciate him taking a few.
That's
look,
awesome.
Yanks will be fine here as far as getting to the postseason. I asked him that. I asked him about his job and if he had any security, because when I was talking to him, I said the same thing. And he gave a great answer. I was trying to get him to say that same answer again, that if maybe he's not going to say this on the air, whatever, but if the Yanks were to miss the playoffs, he kind of said this.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves to be fired.
Aaron Boone's no dummy. He understands. He doesn't have a 5-year deal, doesn't have a 4-year deal.
His new deal is going to kick in at the end of this season.
I believe it's a 2-year deal, right? It's 2 years. So
point is, and
he's no dummy.
Remember, this
was
ahead of the Astros game that they ended up getting spanked in that game, and they were in a bad way,
very bad.
And it was just like, ah, man, you getting any reassurance or whatever? What's going on? He's like, look, if we don't make the playoffs, I deserve to get fired. I was like, you know what? That's the right answer. He knows. He didn't say that quote here, but he basically said, look, we're loaded up. I know I got a job to do. Pressure's on. Go get the job done.
I think Aaron's always had pretty good self-awareness. The thing that frustrates me, and I think others at times, is that, you know, we want a more, maybe an aggressive description or penalization of players who do dumb things. And he's just not going to do that. Now, will he do it behind closed doors? Yeah, I mean, I've seen the side of Aaron where, you know he's not playing. Like, he's got that streak in him where he can snap. But I think also his greatest strength, and I've said this about Aaron, even though, you know, I think it's been more of a Cashman issue, which I've said, but Aaron's not perfect. Nobody is. I think his greatest gift is knowing how to minimize the craziness that comes with saying the wrong thing or the wrong optic in the dugout. I don't mean getting thrown out with an umpire. Like with a Billy Martin situation with Reggie, he avoids that. Even if we want it once in a while, he avoids it, and it really keeps peace for his team, which is all that matters, no matter what we say or what we want.
How about that? You getting scolded by the Yankees manager for getting touched?
Ah, dude. I mean, it's just, you can't make it up. I still can't believe that happened.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls here on the other side. 888-808-1019. Much like I said with the Mets yesterday, I think it was, BT, I'm not focused on the wild card with the Yankees here. This is the New York Yankees. Division is still right there. They're 5 games back all of a sudden. Remember, the Red Sox caught them and passed them. Now, all of a sudden, the Yankees caught them again. So there's a back and forth. Once you get leapfrogged, the team in front of you should continue to maintain that distance. They have not. The Yankees have punched back. They've responded here. And all it took was 3 games, a 3-game winning streak. Right back with the Red Sox, who they'll play, obviously, for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto, they're only 5 back at Toronto, who's lost 2 in a row. So the division is right there for the taking.
It is. And Vladdy did something with his hamstring last night. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, he was stretching at first base, and he's going for an MRI. So who knows what that entails there. I mean, listen, injury's part of the game. Nobody felt bad for the Yankees when Judge went down or Stanton went down, whatever, or Garrett Cole, that happened. So you got to deal with that, and you've got to capitalize when somebody in your division that's in front of you that's really good might be on ice for a while. I still don't think the Yankees win the division. I still feel that way. I think I'd feel a lot better if Max Fried was throwing the baseball better. Now, that's one of the many things we asked Boone about. Again, Free Odyssey app if you guys missed it, WFA and YouTube as well. But, like, that might be my gravest concern right now.
Yeah,
Max Fried, 10 starts, Sal.
Think
not
about
2
it.
Or 3.
I understand that, but think about it. Your gravest concern is that a great pitcher is going to be great once again. He's been bad for 10 games. Like, it happened.
10 games is a big chunk of the season. Okay. I'm talking about 2 or 3 starts. 10 games is 35, 40, 45% of his starts.
Understand. So do we think it's going to continue?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying I don't have that incredible confidence until I see him begin to reverse this trend, which has been for 10 starts.
Dude, I know we've talked about this. Here's why I think they're going to win the division. First of all, their offense.
Schedule's easy on the back end.
Oh, my
Very.
God.
Yeah, I know.
Now, that's been a thing for a while, but what you're seeing now is the Yankees start to get, I don't want to say healthier because obviously some guys are still banged up, but as Boone said, they're not even whole yet. They're not a complete whatever. I keep messing up his words, but they're not whole yet. And when you get Judge back in right, whenever the hell that's going to be, and I guess they're waiting on Judge to feel comfortable as he's been built up. What do you say that he's been throwing at now?
150.
Right, so last time I think feet. I talked to him was like 110. So moving up, this is over the course of a week.
Yep.
All right, well, whatever. And he's not going to be lights out with his arm out there, but still, it's going to be better with Judge in right, Grisham in center, Bellinger in left, Stanton at DH, Rice in the lineup at either first base or catcher, and away we go. So they got Tampa starting tonight. Huge 4-game series with the Red Sox.
That's the one.
Which that could determine the division right there because whoever gets the best of each other, and even if it's a wash, I'd still be okay with the Yankees. Like, I think if they split, they're okay because of the way the schedule goes the rest of the way. Dude, Washington, Chicago White Sox. Okay,
Baltimore.
Yeah, they got 3 at home with Toronto. Yeah,
yep.
Okay, 3 with Detroit, fine. But Yanks will have a little patch where they're tested early September. And then they close with Minnesota, Baltimore, Chicago, White Sox again, and Baltimore. Like, they've got the Orioles and White Sox twice. They've got three with Minnesota. Like, the Yankees, what? As they start to get healthier, I think the division is still there.
And the only thing more advantageous than playing a bad team is playing a bad team a week or so before the season ends when their head's not even on the field. So
right.
I understand that. And listen, the one thing that we tend to do is we fixate on what's ahead of our teams, right? Well, I just went to Toronto's schedule just to make sure to see how they wrap up. It's a little trickier. They've got a bunch of games with Tampa. They've got a three-game series, the penultimate series, so the second-to-last series with Boston. That's up in Toronto, September 23, 24, 25. But we've also seen the Yankees. Now, the Marlins were playing better baseball when the Yankees got swept down there. I guess that's, 2 weeks ago, whatever it is. But I guess I just don't take anything for granted because I've seen them play, like the Mets. Well, again, when you play poorly for months, and the Yankees have kind of played poorly for months. Now, they're showing signs of fighting out of it. They played very well at the start of the year. The evidence is there that they could uptick and sustain that. But I don't know. I get a little rattled when a team that I root for plays poorly for basically 2 months.
Remember, bullpen better with Bednar. I didn't want to get into that. I mean, it was on my list of things. I was like, what am I going to ask him? How to repair Williams? We know what's going to happen. He's going to come in low-leverage situations, and they're going to hope that he starts to figure himself out.
And he does. He strikes out three guys every time he gets those low-leverage situations.
So there you go. And then maybe you work him to a point where he's going to be a sixth, seventh-inning guy. Maybe, but depending on how Doval goes. We know Bednar's going to be the closer. We know Weaver's going to be right there with him.
Yeah.
So those are their two arms. Doval ahead of Williams in the depth chart and probably others as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cruz coming back, Hill, whatever.
Leiter still in the mix.
So right now it doesn't seem like they need him. They might eventually need him to get some outs in a higher leverage spot. It can't just always be mop-up duty or whatever it may be, but that's the way that you're working back in. I was going to ask him about the closer. We know Bednar's the closer officially. Like, you don't have to ask him to get the official word from him. Point is, Yankees are better than they have been in the pen. They're better on the bench with Rosario coming back with Caballero than they've been all year long.
And by the way, Caballero's starting tonight for those who missed it. Over at third base, Volpe back to short. Keep going.
So those things are better with this team.
Yeah.
And when Judge gets back in right field, you're going to have Judge, Grisham, Bellinger, and Stanton, which is not something we've seen often because Stanton's out the first half of the year. Judge can't play the outfield right now. Like, that hasn't been a thing that's been consistent enough, not to mention Rice, who maybe is as hot as he's been all year long, getting a regular spot in the lineup, improving at catching. Now, I still don't love it. Boone kind of poo-pooed that, he had two pass balls the other day, two got by him the other day, but overall he's been good. Yeah, but those two could kill you in the postseason or winning the division. So that's got to get cleaned up, but he's not going to be a great catcher right now. The offense, though, to me, is what's going to separate them, at least in the regular season, which is what we're talking about as it pertains to the division.
And he still communicated strong confidence in Wells. At this point, more confidence than I have in Wells. I really thought Wells had a chance to be an offensive star, and he still has value. He is, right around 60 ribbies, whatever it is. But there's just, Austin Wells has been in a hitting coma. I feel like it's been months. And Ben Rice has jumped in front of him. I was curious what he would say about Spencer Jones. Interesting answer. The Yankees are piecing this together a little bit. And I think that there's a chance that they can win probably more games than I thought they would win a while ago based on the schedule, based on them getting healthy and holding certain spots here. But again, I get a little rattled when I watch basically 60 days of inconsistent play. You're inconsistent for a reason. Now, they're also a little bit of a different team than they were when they were pretty inconsistent. I get that, but I got to see it with this group. They're a playoff team. I don't worry about that.
And they're chasing a Toronto team that is not proving themselves.
Yep.
And a Boston team that's, been up and down themselves. So it's not like they got some world beater who's 7-8 games in front of them.
No question.
And it's all of a sudden that lead has dwindled down now with the schedule they have. I think all the pieces are there for the Yanks to make a run at that division still. Mitchell's in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hi, Sal. Hi, BP. How you guys? Great interview with Boone. Hi, BP. So, listening to what you guys are saying, I told you guys, even when I saw you last week, guys, that don't worry about the Yankees. The Yankees are going to win the division. I'll tell you why they're going to win. First of all, I just got an update on Vladdy because I have some fantasy. Vladdy looks like he's going on a 6-day DL today with the hamstring. So that's,
IL? They said that already?
I didn't see that part yet. I know we got hurt, though.
Yeah, that's Mitch. That's your word. We got to get that officially. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, all right, Sal, you'll see you later today, I promise you. But okay, that's fine. And then you got to remember also, the Yankees are going to get back three pitchers. They're going to go into the bullpen that'll help them out. Your ball can go start or he can be in the bullpen. You got Cruz and Lewandowski coming back.
Lewandowski hasn't gotten an out in a year, it feels like. So I wouldn't trust him. Cruz.
And Lewandowski is a good guy also to have in the bullpen.
Yeah, well, when? And thank you for the call, Mitch.
He has not been the same guy for a while. Yeah, Loisic, I don't trust him at all.
Yeah, I mean, think about where we were. There was a point where we thought he was going to take over for Chapman, right? Mm-hmm. His closer, that was the transition there. And he was good. Lasagna, everybody loved him. He was nasty. He has been awful. You can't trust
him.
Bad. I would trust, this is how bad Lasagna's been. I would trust Devin Williams more than I would Loisic right now.
I'd probably agree with that.
I mean,
probably
Loisic has been awful, dude. He's getting beat up.
I understand.
At least Williams, it feels like maybe the pressure's getting to him because he's shown signs where you go out there and be okay and get through innings.
Yeah.
Whereas Loisic, it has just not been there. Again, not to say that he's toast, his career's toast, but I wouldn't trust him. We're talking about going down the stretch, and when you have the amount of options that the Yankees have, I would not reference Loisic right now.
Neither. I basically forgot about him, to be honest with you. I'm thinking more Cruz and you know, some of the other pieces, Yarbrough, Leiter, and some other, the new guys, of course. You know, Devin Williams is interesting to me. Like, I'm not just going to abandon complete hope. Who knows? Maybe he becomes the closer again. I don't know. I don't think he does. But if it's an eighth inning or a seventh inning spot, Yanks up a run or two, guys on, nobody on, I'm going to be terrified when Devin Williams pitches. However, the reason why I'm not going to fully jump ship and say this guy can't do it in New York, and I said this to you a week or so ago, and I don't know what it's going to portend for the future, but it's a glimmer of hope. Here in this city, when you start off horrendously, as he did, and he was awful in April, ERA of 8, and then you basically go 2 months where you regenerate and reestablish yourself and pitch not well, but great, as he did, and the stats back that up. That tells me you've got some fortitude there. Otherwise, you would have cracked and you would have never recovered. Now he's back down and trying to inch his way back up. So while we're all worried about Devin Williams, that there is a chance that this guy's going to get big outs in October.
And they may need him to. Eric is calling from Hillsdale. What's up, Eric?
The reason I'm calling is I know you have Boone on recently. Sal is there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, BT and Sal, we're both here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought so. I'm sorry. My bad.
It's okay. Go ahead.
The reason why I'm calling real quick is if you look at Boone's playoff record, if you go back to 2018, they played Boston. I'll go over real quick. They played Boston. He left like either Severino or Severino in with 5 runs, which is too long with a playoff game. You got to lift him at like 3 runs. That's part one. Part two is you go to 2019. They win the first game in Houston. The second game, what happens is that they have a lead early in game two, and like Chad Green is rolling 7 or 8 guys in a row out, takes them out because of a matchup. Ottavino comes in, lets up a home run. You know, Chad was like 8 guys in a row, took, you know, they put down, you don't take them out. Then you go to 2020 with Tampa.
But Eric,
we
don't need to rehash all of this, which is going back 6-7 years. Now, if your point is that Boone has been bad in the postseason, that's a fair point, and he's got to be better. I mean, obviously the Yankees have fallen short of a World Series up until last year, where you could say that, well, the combination of Soto and Judge and the weak American League got them there, but again, Boone wasn't great. To his own admission, when he was in studio with us in the offseason, he said he screwed up game one. So is that your point, that you don't like Boone as far as his decisions in the postseason?
Well, yeah, if you just give me one more minute, you know, like, of course, Nestor Cortez, the first game in the World Series, he had Conley in after they got the lead back. Why do you have Conley when you had Holmes was going good? He puts in that guy Happ in the second game as a second game, a second inning, and he's a starter.
Eric, thanks for the call. I'm not trying to shut you in. We're a little bit late here. And listen, we lived through this. You know, I don't know who Connolly is. I don't know if I lived through that, but we lived through all the other stuff.
Did he mean Cortez or last year in the World Series?
But he said Cortez first, referencing the Dodgers game one. Then he said Connolly. Either way, we all misspeak, so it's all good. The bottom line is this. He hasn't been Billy Martin. He hasn't been Joe Torre in the postseason. I'll tell you this. If Aaron Judge hits, Aaron Boone looks a lot better in October.
And maybe because Judge hasn't hit, it's come down to some crucial decisions. The way I would say it is, I think when you get to the playoffs, that you can evaluate a manager a little bit in the regular season. Really, the in-game decisions, that to me comes to the forefront and is magnified in the playoffs. That's it. Now it's a balance of whatever data that you have pregame and your gut magnified on the biggest stage, because every move matters even more when things get tight.
Yeah.
And Boone has not succeeded in that so far.
He hasn't. Listen, I talked to Jack Morris years ago in the Tigers bullpen down in Lakeland, Florida, all right? And we're talking about managers. And it started with Spark, and then we kind of morphed into a bigger baseball discussion. And he told me, I got to keep this tight, I know. He said that the bad managers, this is Jack Morris, the bad managers basically attribute to roughly, in his opinion, couldn't quantify it, 5 more losses than an average manager who basically doesn't give you any, doesn't lose you any. He's just there. And a good manager like La Russa, like the Hall of Famers, they generally give you five or so more. So where is Boone on that scale? I don't know necessarily, but I know, and this goes back to Cashman, that the roster has not been perfect. But then again, neither has Aaron Boone. He's been good. He has not been great. He's got to win.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back, we'll get some football into the conversation next hour as well. 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.